I want you to take your Bibles and turn with us to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. On this first Sunday of 2021, I want to speak to you about the message is entitled 2021, It's Just a Matter of Time. It's just a matter of time. I watched with intrigue on Friday, I guess it was, the Rose Bowl. It was interesting, the Rose Bowl game this past week, it's normally in Pasadena, California. One other time it was on the East Coast during World War II, right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. They moved the game to the East Coast. But normally it's in Pasadena, California. But this past week it was actually in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because of the restrictions in California. But I watched that game for a few moments on Friday, and I couldn't help but remember a story that would be kind of a launch pad for my message today. The year was 1933, and the University of California played Georgia Tech University in the Rose Bowl. And it was quite a game. Both schools at the time were undefeated. And it was late in the second quarter, and Georgia Tech was driving the ball to the Cal 33-yard line, and a man by the name of Thomason was running the ball for Georgia Tech, and he was hit hard and fumbled the ball. A player for the University of California by the name of Roy Regals picked up the fumble, spun around, and began to run with it. The crowd started to cheer, and he took that fumble and headed towards the goal. He was running at full speed, lifting his legs, looking to dodge the other players. And there was one problem, however. He was headed towards the wrong goal. He had somehow gotten confused and spun around, and he literally was headed with the scooped up fumble to the wrong goal. Now, the incredible thing was that his teammates were the ones that were trying to tackle him, and the opposition was trying to block and run interference for him as long as he was running the wrong way. And finally, on the 1 yard line, after running nearly 67 yards in the wrong direction, Roy Regals was tackled by one of his own teammates, a man by the name of Benny Lahn, on the 1 yard line. Can you imagine the shame and the humiliation? He's known in football lore even today as Wrong Way Regals. The jeers and the catcalls and the hooting of Roy Regals must have been overwhelming. They went into the halftime, and Roy Regals was spoken to by his coach, who put his arm around him and just gave him encouragement. And people that were watching the game, even the press, they said Regals came out in the second half and played like an All-American. I tell that story to you from football history, but I want to also ask you to picture it, if you will, that people can be running real hard and they can be pursuing goals that are in the wrong direction. People can be pursuing business goals and health goals and relationship goals, but they've lost sight of the right goal, if you will. And today, with God's help, I want us to look to the Word of God, and I want to endeavor to be Benny Lahn by the Spirit's help and power today. And I want to ask the Spirit to help us on this first Sunday of 2021 to be directed to the right goal. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me for the reading of the Word? And we're going to ask the Spirit of God to tackle us today as we head towards the right goal. Now, let me give you just a quick bit of background. Ephesians chapter 5, you've heard me preach from this before regarding the Spirit's filling. It's one of the greatest Pentecostal passages that there are in the New Testament. And can I just say, those of you watching online, you wouldn't have context for this, but when Ron and I pulled into the parking lot today, I thought I was going to be preaching to myself. And I just give you guys kudos. There's a good crowd in spite of the snowstorm today. And thanks for coming out to the house of the Lord. But this passage, these five verses of Scripture, I'm going to ask the Spirit to direct me this morning. to speak to you, not so much as important as it is about the Spirit-filled life. I'd like us to focus on the idea that there is a time and a season that all of us have been given. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 5. We'll pick up at verse number 14. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. That sounds familiar with last week's message from Romans, doesn't it? Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful. Say, be very careful. How many of you know when the Word of God says, be very careful, we need to be careful? Amen? Say it one more time. Be very careful. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Say opportunity. Opportunity. Online people, say opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Lord, add your anointing to the word, I pray. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to come to your house and hear a minister pontificate on his thoughts or her thoughts, Lord, but we have the unsearchable riches of God's word that never will cease to reveal truth to our lives. On this first Sunday of 2021, I ask afresh, Lord, would you let your Spirit speak through me to your people? And if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. And Lord, help us to seize the time that we've been given. It is a matter of time until you return. So I want to live as a wise steward of the time that you've given to me. And I ask that your word come alive to people in these next few moments. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful and awesome name. And everybody would say, amen. You may be seated. In the Bible, there are two words that are translated time. Chronos, where we get the English word chronology, chronos is a word that is translated time for certain. That's not the word that is used here in Ephesians 5. Chronos simply means the passing of time. It's the idea of hours or minutes or so many seconds. The word that's used in this passage for time is the Greek word that's translated kairon, if you will. And it means time, but it also means seasons of time or the opportunity. Say opportunities. That's why I had you repeat that when we read it. It's the same word that's used in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, we have the opportunity, the kairon, the time, let us do good to all people. It's the same word that's translated then, Ephesians chapter 5, making the most of every opportunity. I would submit to you, Bright, in 2021, we're buying up opportunities because the days are evil. And in this first Sunday of 2021, I want us to look at the idea of four facts about time this morning. Four facts about the time that you and I have been given, starting with January 3, 2021. First off, I want you to understand, time is a provided opportunity. Time is a provided opportunity. The word says, verse number 14, for it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now we need, and I would submit to you, again, repeating what we covered last week, we need to jolt some people awake in the spirit realm. There's a day and an opportunity that you dare not let pass by. And we need to awaken from a spiritual stupor if we've fallen asleep. We spoke about that, and the idea was that many times what the enemy tries to do in your life and my life is to chloroform us, if you will, and we need to be jolted awake by the Spirit's presence. God has provided for you an opportunity because God's the creator of time. Think about this. I truly believe this. God's two greatest gifts that he has given to you, number one is Jesus. Say Jesus. I believe the second greatest gift that he gives you is time. God has given you a time to work, a time to serve, a time to love, a time to laugh, a time to labor. But like any gift, it's really up to you how you use that gift. And what we see in our lives every day, this day that we've been given, January 3, is a gift from God. I want to ask you a question. Has that ever occurred to you that for you to cease living, God wouldn't have to take your life? All you would have to do is stop providing life for you. And I believe there's a difference. You see what I'm saying? The Bible proclaims Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. He gives us time. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Today, when you woke up, friend, did you realize that was a gift of life that's given to you? You and I were given the gift of life. Every day is a gift from God. 60 seconds in every minute. The fact of the matter is, 60 or 24 hours in every day, 86,400 seconds, every one of them are a gift from God. I did a little math calculation. You can go to a website. I was born 3/12/62, January 3, 2021. Brad Trask so far has been given 21,482 days. 21,482. And every one of them is a gift from the Lord. It's a gift, but I don't own it. I've been blessed with it. The Lord's given that to me. But you and I, the time that we have, we redeem it because it's a blessing to our lives. I love the old poem. I only have just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, forced upon me. I can't refuse it. But it's up to me how I use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, but eternity is in it. The Lord has given each and every one of us the precious gift of life and time. First off, it's a provided opportunity. Secondly, today, it's a present opportunity. Time is something that is here right now. Look at verses 15 and 16 again. But be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now here he speaks of days. We quoted that. Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can you say amen to that? Read that with me, will you, this morning? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I would submit to you, Brian, there are two days in your life that can steal the joy and productivity from you today. Two days. You know what they are? Yesterday and tomorrow. I believe that. Yesterday and tomorrow can steal the joy from you today. Paul warns us about this in his past. Look what he wrote in the letter to the church at Philippi. He's writing from a Roman prison and he says these words, Philippians 3. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting, say forgetting, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I forget the past. I put it behind me. Let me tell you four things that Paul had to put behind him, and it's probably four things you need to put behind you as well. First off, he had to put behind him his guilt. The Apostle Paul was one that the enemy would try and beat him up and make him feel guilty about his past. I mean, he was present there when there were people stoning the Apostle Stephen. Paul said to him, said about himself in the letter to the Corinthians, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But he buried that guilt in the grave of God's forgetfulness. And I would submit to you, maybe there's people watching online. There's people that are present at Brighton Assembly today that you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. If I shared with you what I've done in my past, it would make me blush and I would be ashamed in front of the congregation or other people. I want to tell you, friends, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin if we confess it before Him. The word says to the Hebrews, He's able to save to the uttermost. There's nobody that is beyond Christ's redemption. And Paul said, I forget those things which are behind, those things that would make me feel guilty. I would also say to you, Paul had to forget his glory. As a saint, he was probably the greatest Christian, I suppose, that's ever lived. And the greatest missionary, the greatest church planter. But Paul didn't sit around and rest on his laurels and say, remember what happened back here, what happened there. But he forgot even the good things. I would say he also had to forget his grief. So, here was Paul, and he was stoned. He was left for dead, shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten. Paul said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Some of you, after what's happened in 2020 or prior, you've still struggled with grief. I want you to know you've got to put that behind you by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that today. But He doesn't want you to live in the glory or in the guilt or even in the grief. And a fourth thing. Is you got to forget the grudges as well. There were many people who endeavored to do Paul wrong. They abused him. They lied about him. Sometimes he called him out by name. He'd say, Alexander, he's done me a great deal of harm. They mistreated him. They cheated him. But Paul overlooked and refused to feed the fever or nurse the grudge. Paul said, I take my past guilt, my past glory, my past grief, my past grudges, and I forget those things which are behind me, and I press on towards the goal. So you got to forget yesterday. Say yesterday. But there's also a day that'll steal your blessing from today, and that's tomorrow. Here's tomorrow's counsel. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait for tomorrow. Some people are always waiting for tomorrow. Psychologist William Marston, a number of years ago, surveyed 3,000 people and asked them what they were living for. And out of the 3,000 people that were surveyed, you know what was intriguing? He found 94% of the people that were surveyed, what were they living for, said they were enduring today so they could get to tomorrow. 94%. Today was not the day they were living for. They were anticipating tomorrow. And I get the idea of planning and dreaming and having vision. But that idea of waiting for tomorrow, the problem is, in essence, tomorrow never comes. You've got to enjoy today. I'll repeat that again. If you're always looking forward to tomorrow, you're going to miss the blessings that God wants you to live in today. Somebody said the person that's always waiting for their ship to come in never really leaves the docks to explore the lands God has given them. I like that. John Whittier said, you've all heard the quote, for all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Don't live with regrets. Today, what's in your heart that God's planted? Is it to pursue another degree? Is it to apply for another job? Is it a single person? Is it to go ahead and ask that guy or that gal out? Is it to say, you know what, I'm going to save for that goal and I'm going to begin even today? The picture you see on the screen is an actress that was pretty famous back in the days of Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall. And she starred a number of years ago in a movie entitled The Mirror Has Two Faces. And the mother character that she plays, she reflects upon her mortality in the middle of the play. And in her quote, she says these words, It's an awful thing to look back on life and realize that you've settled. The thing is that you feel like you have more time, and then one day, wake up and realize most of your life is behind you. Can I challenge somebody today? Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for tomorrow. Take that step of faith today. If you feel like God's placed something in your heart, begin that journey and pursue it and ask for the anointing of God upon you. So don't wait for tomorrow. And I would also say, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 34, he said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is the God that gives us the in the crucible of wisdom, he in the economy of his grace. You know what? The Lord's wisdom far exceeds anything that we could imagine. Amen? And I want you to gather this. Look up here for a second. Here's how you're going to live 2021, by faith. Here's how it operates, church. And you may not like this, but look at Matthew 6, 34. The Lord has ordered, because we live even in a fallen world. He didn't create sin, but the fact of the matter is, we live in a fallen world. And in his economy of grace, he has allowed some trouble to enter into our lives. We're all going to face difficulties in 2021. You say, well, that's not good news to me, Pastor. We've been blessed. I'll tell you, we've been blessed with difficulties. God has given us enough difficulties to cause us to come to him. And the worst thing that could happen to us is that we would never have any difficulties because we would never realize our need of the Lord. So God every day says, you know what, Trask? I'm going to give you sufficient trouble so you'll look to me. And God sees that difficulty that you and I are going to face. That's the bad news, okay? Here's the good news. Amidst that difficulty, he's going to give you enough grace to exceed the difficulty, that his grace is going to be sufficient, that it's going to overcome the difficulties of every day. Doesn't that excite you? I'm going to live in a fallen world. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord's going to give us a grace in the midst of this fallen world, and we're going to lean into him, and he's going to say, they're leaning on me, and I'm going to pour in my grace to their lives, and I'm going to provide their every need according to my riches and glory, and they're going to trust me in a greater dimension. The problem is, if you and I, in the midst of those difficulties, we get embittered, or we get angry, or we get despondent, or we say, oh, it's woe is me, instead of leaning into the Lord, trust him for your today, and don't worry, and don't wait for tomorrow, and don't let the glory or the grief or the grudges beat you up about yesterday. Third idea, time is a precious opportunity. Look at the word says there. Verses 16 and 17, making the most of every opportunity. Circle that in your notes. Every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Look at this in the King James Version. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Say, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the Lord, the will of the Lord is. The redeeming of the time. What do you do when you redeem something? Your money that you have, you redeem, you buy something with it. When you turn a coupon in, you're redeeming it for money back to you, or a discount, if you will. I want you to know, you exchange your life, your time, for the opportunities given to you. Think about that. Benjamin Franklin said, to waste time is to waste life, because time is the stuff that life is made of. A person, I would submit to you, who's killing time is actually killing themselves. They're committing suicide by degrees. A murderer, I would submit to you, in the truest sense, Brighton, doesn't take somebody's life. That person's going to die eventually. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just speaking to you the truth. What they take is the person's time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say amen. He just causes that person, or she causes that person, to die sooner. You see, time is life. It's precious. And when I give you my time, when you give me your time, time's so important, we need to redeem the time. We need to be wise with it. Do you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the art of spending time wisely. Moses said it. I use it almost every funeral that I close with, because I count out the person's days that they live. Moses said, Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I'm given a certain amount of days. I don't know the number, but I'm living between the dash, between the dates, if you will. But you know what? I want to use the opportunities that the Lord has given to me. How effectively will I use the time that God has given to me? I want to give you four principles to live by regarding buying up the time in 2021 that you need to incorporate. First off is the prayer principle. Jot that down. The prayer principle for 2021. How important it is that you let prayer be the key that unlocks the doors of the morning and the day and the evening for you through prayer. As the poet said, lean your arms upon the window seal of heaven and gaze at the face of God through prayer. As you greet the day, can I challenge you? As you greet the day, begin the day with prayer. Spend every day, a season of it, in prayer. For me, I've got to do it in the morning. Ideally, prayer, I would submit to you, should be in the morning. But the fact of the matter is, it's sometime during that day. And you say, well, Pastor, you know what? I just don't have time. Don't use that as an excuse. That would be like a wood chopper saying, you know what? I'm wasting time by sharpening the axe. For our lives, there's enough time in every day to do the things that God wants you to do gracefully. I'll repeat that again. There's enough time in every day to do everything that God wants me and you to do, and to do it gracefully. It's an insult to God for me to say, you know what, I just don't have enough time. If you don't have enough time to do what God wants you to do, you know what? You're not spending your time wisely. Either something that you've imposed upon yourself, or you've allowed others to impose upon you. So what you've got to do in prayer is seek the face of God and get quiet before Him every day and let the Lord speak to your heart and your life. I learned a poem a number of years ago. I've quoted it to you before. But I love it. I remind myself of it. That I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like a glory on my breast. All day long His presence lingered, and all day long He stayed with me. And we sailed so smoothly over a very troubled sea. Oh, other ships were tossed and battered, and other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me peace and calm and rest. Oh, I too have learned the secret to many a troubled day. You should seek God in the morning if you want Him through the day. The prayer principle. Secondly is the priority principle. After God speaks to you in prayer, friends, it's obvious then you've got some priorities. You see, life would be simple if it were just a choice of good and evil. Look up here a second. Most of the decisions I'll make and you will make, friends, in 2021, are not going to be decisions between good and evil. You know what they're going to be? A decision between good and what's best. And isn't it true that we need to find out what God wants us to do? Most time management books, let me save you some time. Most time management books will tell you to how you can do more things. How you can play or work more or read more or do all these different hobbies more. They have their place. I'm not being hypercritical. But I'll tell you what's most important in 2021 for you regarding time. It's not to do more things, but to do less things. I mean, to get your priorities correct is what I'm talking about. My favorite verse of scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You know what it says? No good soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs. There's things that Brad Trask needs to just say no to so I don't misprioritize things away from my wife and my family and the ministry that God's called me to. Every time you say no in your life, right, you're actually saying yes to something else. That's powerful. This past year, I visited the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., if you ever have the opportunity to visit it. It's powerful. You walk in this Bible Museum in D.C., and it's dark, and you walk through the entryway, and all of a sudden it becomes bright light, symbolizing what happens when somebody has the Word of God revealed to them. It brings light to life. But we were being greeted there and hosted by the people that have built the Bible Museum, the Green family. They own Hobby Lobby. God has blessed them mightily because they just continue to let their lives serve as a channel of God's blessing. And they've owned the Hobby Lobby for a number of years, and they built this Bible Museum in D.C., and their son, David and Barbara Green's son, Mark Green, their son, he hosted us. And there was a little amphitheater, and there was probably 50 pastors that were present. And Mark said, I believe the Lord's laid a word on my heart for you preachers. He said, most of you are type A personalities. You want to be achievers. But here's what you need to remember. When you leave the office to a little bit early to go to your son's ball game or your girl's volleyball game, you know what? You're not leaving your primary calling to go to your secondary calling. You're leaving your secondary calling to go to your primary calling. Wow. It cut us to the quick. He said, your family's got to be first priority. And I would submit to you, men and women, today, there's some things that you might need to say no to in 2021 so that you're saying yes to the proper things. Can you say amen? Jesus, who lived only to the age of 33, in his humanity here on earth, he bowed his head when it was all done. And what did he say? It is finished. Tetelestai, it is finished. John 17:4 says, I have brought you glory in the high priestly prayer. He said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, notice, it was the work that God gave him to do. Now, think about this, right? Because the Spirit of God got a hold of me when I was prepping for this. There were many villages that wanted Jesus to come and teach in their villages. And there were many places where the people wanted Jesus to heal and so forth. We could go on. But Jesus didn't go everywhere and he didn't go to everyone. He just went where the Father directed him. And the fact is, for you and I, when he got completed, he could say, Tetelestai, it is finished. You and I in our lives, we've got to wrestle against the tyranny of the urgent. Gabe and Sarah, they got a book that I recommended a number of years ago. It's just a little pamphlet by Charles Hummel called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And it's Hummel in the treatise in the book is that you're always going to be wrestling and battling between the important and the urgent. And the biggest battle is not to let the urgent crowd out the important. The promptness principle is important as well. And this speaks to me, not just the prayer principle, not the priority principle, but the promptness principle. And that deals with the sin of procrastination. The Bible says, Jesus' half-brother said it, James 4, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Sin's not just merely doing the wrong thing, it's failing to do what you know you ought to do. And do you know that procrastination and disobedience, they're just different shades of the same sin. In my life, and in your life, my prayer for the congregation and friends watching online is that you and I would have in 2021 an immediate obedience. If God calls us to do something, we immediately do it. Kind of like Rob Loy's book we studied a number of years ago, Immediate Obedience. And there's a promptness principle that says, you know what, if God wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. And then finally, a power principle. Heard a good definition, in my opinion, a good definition for willpower. So I copied it down a number of years ago. It says, when you have a job to do, begin this very hour. You supply the will, God will supply the power. I love that. Most of us think, you know what? Oh boy, if I just, I'd have it made if I did exactly what God wants me to do. I've already talked about this, but I want you to cover this with me. That you and I, regarding willpower, it's not our power, it's God's power. Look what Ephesians 5:18 says. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The power principle, hear me, Brighton. The power principle to do God's will for 2021 is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To do God's will, you can't do it on your own. Amen. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, Ron and I were talking about this driving back from Springfield, Missouri. Hear me. It seems to be just a number of men and women who I respect in the kingdom are saying the same thing. And Rhonda heard a message and she was trying to convey it to me. And I said, honey, here's what it comes down to. And she said, Brad, that's exactly what I heard this brother say. And it's simply this. Satan, in these last days, he has an anointing. Make no mistake about it. Satan has an anointing. You need a greater anointing to overcome the enemy. You need God's power by the privilege and the presence of the Holy Spirit to make it in these last days. It's all winding up. You say it's going to happen this year? I'm not predicting dates. Jesus said he doesn't even know the date that the Father's going to call him to come back. But the fact of the matter is, I know we're one day closer than we were yesterday. And friends, there seems to be something happening in the spirit realm. You and I need the power of the Holy Spirit to live the way God wants us to today. Please don't try. I beg of those of you watching online, don't try and live it on your own. You need the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the dimension that God wants you to live in today. Let me cover one last thing as the worship team comes back. Provided opportunity, present opportunity, precious opportunity, passing opportunity. A passing opportunity. Look what the word says. Psalm 90. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. This day is passing, right? I've got buddies in the room. Hey, you know what? Many of you are my closest, dearest friends. You know what? Isn't it amazing how fast time goes? I mean, in many respects, I look at somebody like Jelly. You know what? And she was just this. And I was pastoring back in my 30s. Man, it's just gone like that. I'm going to have to give an account for this day. I'm going to have to give an account for this sermon. That's why I don't worry about crowds. You know what? I'm preaching to an audience of one more than anything else. And time is such a strange commodity. You can't save it. You can't borrow it. You can't loan it. You can't leave it. You can't take it. You really can't give it. All you can do is use it or lose it. Time can't be stopped. You can call a timeout in a football game or a basketball game, but you can't call a timeout in life. A time can't be stored. You can put your money in a bank, but you can't put time in a bank. You can bank time in your job, maybe, but you can't really bank time. Time can't be stretched. You can add another cup of water to the soup, but there's no way that you can stretch time. time can't be shared. I can give you some books. I can give you money, but it can't be shared. Russ Croson, he said these words, a working lifetime is less than 500 months. That realization is sobering. Time is not recallable. No warranties, no inventory, quality assurance, no return of the deposit. Time just runs out. Time is our most finite and irreplaceable resource. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still, I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall be fine traveling on, and time will be gone. Time is a passing opportunity. So, right, here's the deal. I asked the Spirit of God to help me just prepare to close this message. And I want you to play a little game of what if with me, if you will. And I want you to project, you know what? What if you had 6 months to live? What would you be your attitude if the doctor said, you know what, you've got 6 months to live? And then I want you to just incorporate the question into these components of your life, if you'll jot them down. What would change if you knew you had 6 months left to live? How would it change your marriage? Would you leave behind a spouse whose memories of you were filled with love and affection? How would it change your vocation? Could you say that you spent your life in a career that you found truly fulfilling? That word vocation literally means calling. How would it change how you adjust with your children? Would your children be able to say about you one day, I never doubted that I was a priority with my mom and dad? How would you adjust regarding your friendships? As you reviewed a list of people to give a testimonial at your memorial service, your funeral service, can you identify a few people who loved you unconditionally and knew that you loved them unconditionally? How would you adjust regarding your money? Could you say that you wisely used the money that God entrusted to you and that you had adequately provided for your loved ones and the kingdom of God? You know what? Isn't it funny? I preach on this, and I didn't even realize it until I just said it. I didn't even mention the offering earlier in the service. I'm going to have to trust the Lord this coming week for this church. By the way, you can give as you exit. And there's four different ways to give. Oh, I love it. How would it affect your ministry? How many people could you identify who will be in heaven as a direct result of your influence? And lastly, how about you? Your relationship with the Lord. When you heard you've got 6 months to live, Trask, would you be excited about the prospect of standing before the Lord, or would you be fearful about standing before your Creator? So stand with me, would you, Bright? Karen here moved 18 years ago, with her family from Sweden. And she can tell you that the Nobel Peace Prizes and the Nobel Prizes are very well known in Sweden and around the world. But a lot of people don't know. They know about the prizes given for peace giving and science and literature and economics, but they don't know the story of Alfred Nobel. He was a Swedish chemist. And he made his fortune initially by inventing explosives and then licensing the manufacture to foreign governments for the production of weapons. And one day, one of Nobel, Alfred Nobel's brothers, passed away. And the newspaper accidentally thought it was Alfred Nobel, and they ran an obituary about his life. And the obituary identified him as the inventor of dynamite and enabling nations to more effectively destroy one another. And so Nobel reads this and he gets concerned that he's just going to be remembered as a merchant of death. And so he decides to rechannel the remainder of his life to be more productive in his efforts. With a sizable chunk of his wealth, he establishes the Nobel Prizes and encourages the accomplishment to advance humanity. And today, I would submit to you, most people don't know that Alfred Nobel invented dynamite, but they know that he created the Nobel Prizes. And Nobel said, and I love the quote, "I had the rare opportunity to rewrite my obituary. Today is the day that the Lord has given us." And if there's something in your life that you say, "You know what, Lord, would you help me in 2021 to just adjust?" Can I tell you, on the authority of God's word, he's allowed us to redeem the time today and rewrite our obituary. We've been given by God's grace another day. And so if it's a situation in your marriage or in your devotional life or in your philanthropic ministry to one another, you know what? Would you say, "Lord, do a work in my heart, my life"? And I would submit to you, some of you are here today and you need to forget about the past. That, you know what? The grief, you've suffered grief, and yes, it's been painful, but you know what? The Lord has you on this earth and he wants you to live in the present and trust him even for today. We do not grieve as those without hope. Some of you here today, man, you've held a grudge. If I brought up that person's name in your life, you could almost feel yourself tighten up. It might be an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend, ex-mate, boss that cheated you out of some money, but man, it's present, and the Lord wants you to just leave it with him. And some of you, you know what? You even need to forget some of your glories. You know what Jim Cimbala said to me one day, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, he said, "Brad, sports is a great metaphor for life." He said, "You know what? When we were playing basketball in Madison Square Garden, he did for the University of Rhode Island. We beat St. John's, and we were pounding on the lockers, and we were all fired up. We won this game, and his coach came in and said, 'You know what? Enjoy it for today, guys, but if you don't get over it quickly, you're going to lose to Ionia, Little Ionia, later on this week.'" And he said, "Brad, sometimes if you have a great message, you need to forget it pretty quick because Wednesday's coming and next Sunday's coming. And if you really bomb," he said, "you know what? Forget that too, because the fact of the matter is next Wednesday's coming and Sunday's coming and you get another opportunity." And some of you are here today and you're "You know what? I attended Bible school way back here." Or, "Man, God did a work in me at that camp, and I rejoice in what he did in 1962 at that campground. But you know what? He's got something fresh for you today." How many people believe that? Say amen. Some of you just simply say, "You know what, Lord? Would you do a new work in my life?